Welcome to the StrongTeams.com podcast, where we help leaders build strong teams. Teams built on empathy, understanding, and trust, where every team member feels valued and contributes at the highest level possible.
Welcome to the StrongTeams.com podcast. My name is Steve Neesmith.
And I'm Rodney Cox.
And Rodney, we've got a special treat for folks today. Chick-fil-A executive Mark Miller is making a second appearance on our podcast.
That's right, Steve. Our listeners may recall that Mark's career at Chick-fil-A spanned over 45 years, and he started as an hourly team member. And we had the awesome opportunity to visit the Chick-fil-A headquarters and visit Mark as the vice president of high-performance leadership teams before he retired.
I don't know about you, Rodney, but I love getting to – I'd never been to the Chick-fil-A headquarters. It's really a campus that we visited, and it was amazing.
Yeah, the campus is a beautiful campus. I've been there a couple of times, and it is. It's an amazing campus, and the team welcomed us with open arms, treated us like kings, and it was really a buzz there. I was shocked. We came in on a Monday morning, and Monday is kind of devotional Monday, and it was a really, really special time there to visit with Mark.
While we were there, we got to hear a little bit about his latest book. It's actually a graphic novel called Heart of the Hero. But more importantly, I enjoy just hearing more about the Chick-fil-A leadership philosophy. What about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, he went a little deeper in some of the things that we spoke about the last time that we were together. And, you know, I learned a whole lot more about that leadership philosophy and kind of the iceberg philosophy, right, Steve?
The iceberg. Yeah, you got a good memory. The iceberg philosophy kind of just before we give away too much, though, we probably ought to go into our conversation with Mark Miller, recorded there at the Chick-fil-A headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. Let's go to that now.
Mark, it's great to be with you again. And we're grateful for the invitation to be here at the corporate headquarters of Chick-fil-A. What an honor. When Stephen and I walked in this morning, this place was a buzz. I mean, it's like Monday morning. We had to ask the lady, who did we ask? We asked the lady, "What? Why in the world are there so many people here?" And she said, "Well, it's devotional Monday, like all the people are in and so on and so forth. But what's the buzz all about?"
Well, it's a happening place.
It is, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. We're in the midst of a flexible future post-COVID, and we've encouraged people to be face-to-face on average 10 days a month. And that can be here, that can be in the restaurants, that can be in off-site meetings with their team. But we just want to encourage, you know, person-to-person, in-person connection.
Yeah.
And it's a cool place to work. And a lot of people come here, particularly on Mondays, as you just mentioned.
Yeah, we saw a lot of team members and saw a lot of operators. I mean, it's a beautiful time.
Operators bring their team or members of their team here. In fact, as soon as we get up from this conversation, I'm going to go meet an operator from Mississippi who has brought team members here today to visit the home office.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it's definitely a buzz. There's a lot of energy here for sure, and we're grateful to be sitting down with you again.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We talked about teams last time, and
we did.
When we were together, you told us that you had a new graphic novel coming out, and you seem to be incredibly excited about it.
Well, I am excited for several reasons, but one, it was just something new, something different, something else I had the opportunity to learn about, and we're optimistic that it's going to serve a new generation of leaders.
So I have written a few books myself as well, and I've had up to two additional authors on the cover, but I've never had four. Like, tell me a little bit about the four different people on this graphic novel and kind of how it all came together.
Okay, so let's start with who these people are. Okay. Jim Krueger is a former creative director from Marvel.
Okay.
And I heard him speak several years ago at a conference and met him there. And, you know, in the course of the conversation, mentioned that I was an author, and he said, "Have you ever considered doing a graphic novel?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, if you do, let me know." Okay. And so he sort of planted that seed, and it was several years later, I'll give you that backstory in a moment, that I called him to see if he could recommend someone to help me. I had no idea, was not even thinking in this universe.
Wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, right, but I wouldn't think he would help me. So I kind of put my pitch out there, and he said, I'll do it. And I said, you'll do what? Because I really wasn't asking him like to be my co-author. And he said, well, I'll help you write it because it's a different format. And he said, and I'll pull the team together. I'll serve as your producer as well. And so Jim has just been amazing to work with. And so I'm the second name. The content here, again, we can go into this if you'd like, but it's an adaptation. It's more than an adaptation. It's based on one of my early books, the core content. So it's not even an adaptation.
And that
it's,
was the heart of the leader,
story.
Right?
It was the Heart of Leadership.
Yeah, Heart of Leadership.
Which is a book about leadership character.
Okay.
And then Well B is the illustrator. And then Dave is the guy who made it all work. He took the art and the script. He brought it all together. So it was really a team effort.
So, Mark, you said that this was based on another book that you'd written, The Heart of Leadership, right? I think I got that right. And this is the heart of the hero.
Right.
And so help us understand a little bit of the overview of the heart of the hero, okay, why you wrote it.
Okay.
What's the target?
Okay.
And kind of overview the book. What's the theme of it?
Well, I'm gonna back up and give you just a little context.
Okay.
Our point of view
okay.
on leadership is best represented as an iceberg.
Okay.
And we figured this out about 25 years ago. We wanted to accelerate leadership development here at the Chicken. And we wanted to serve our operators as well. And then, by extension, leaders around the world. And we realized that it was going to be very difficult for us to accelerate leadership development without agreement on what leadership means.
What is it?
What it looks like. And we began some work to try and figure out what's our point of view. Again, probably another story for another day, but at the end of the day, we had a picture of an iceberg.
Okay.
We said about 10% of leadership, the part above the waterline, represents the skills of a leader.
Okay.
And just like in an iceberg, there's about 90% below the waterline, which represent the heart
right.
of a leader.
Okay.
And we say, if your heart's not right, nobody cares about your skills.
Interesting.
So 25 years ago, we made a strategic decision to focus on skills. Now, somebody's listening and go, whoa, you just said that's only 10%. Yeah, but it's a critical 10%.
Absolutely.
So we made the decision way back then, we'll select based on heart and we'll train for skills. And so our first foray into leadership development was a skills-based approach.
Okay.
And we chased that for several years and did some work. And Ken Blanchard and I wrote a book called The Secret about those fundamental skills that a leader needs. And operators began to ask us, those are the men and women that run our restaurants. They said, this is really helpful, but we agree with you that this heart stuff really matters. Help us think about that. Help us give language and form and context, because if you're going to select an adult, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior.
Right.
But if you're going to select a 15 or 16-year-old, you know, you can't look at past behavior necessarily.
Yeah, right.
We said, yeah, but you can start looking at those heart issues.
Right.
You might even think of it as leadership character that I believe is formed much earlier in many cases than the skills. And so we, in response predominantly to operators, said we need a more fully formed point of view on these heart habits. And that turned into the book, The Heart of Leadership.
Okay.
And so that's been out for, I don't even know, 15 plus years. And what we discovered over time is that it's more and more challenging to get young people to read books.
Right.
That's the feedback we're getting from our operators.
Yeah, right.
And so one day it just hit me that Jim had said, hey, if you ever want to turn any of your stuff into a graphic novel, let me know. And I thought, you know, maybe we could take some content and do this.
Right.
And so that was the phone call to Jim when he surprised me and said that he would help. And so I think part of your question was about the story itself. One thing I'll point out for your audience, we did not take the story that I wrote years ago and illustrate it.
Okay.
Now, that was a parable, but we did not take that approach.
Yeah, you
we
kind
said,
of started from
let's
scratch.
Let's start from scratch mm-hmm. and say, we know the core content we're trying to create. And Jim was the one pushing me that said, it has to be a great story.
Right.
It has to be a great graphic novel. And yes, we can use it as a vehicle to communicate life-changing truth, but it has to be a great story first.
Right.
So I'll give it to you at 50,000 feet.
Okay.
And then if you've got follow-up questions, we can certainly go there. The story begins with an epic battle
okay.
between a superhero and a supervillain.
All right.
That's page one. There you are.
Right. The world's battle from it's the
these,
beginning
these
of all
time. These
two
guys right. in space.
Right.
It's epic. And then on page two, the bad guy wins and kills the superhero.
Yes.
Which they tell me is not a routine way to start
no,
a graphic novel.
No, probably not. But it's intriguing. It can probably keep you reading.
And then the third scene, you have a kid wake up in the hospital. A teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I didn't think I was ever going to wake up again. And the doctor says, well, it's your lucky day.
Mm.
We found an organ donor. And the kid had a new heart.
Okay.
And it was the heart of the hero.
Okay.
Next scene, the bad guy discovers that the heart of the hero still beats.
Mm.
And he's now after the kid. And the friends of the fallen superhero, who are also superheroes,
right.
now come to protect the kid and to help him understand the implications of his new heart.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You know, and
it's a good story.
It is a good story. And I think about out of the heart, the mouth speaks, you know, when you were talking and how we can see this character of a person fairly early. And we want to cultivate that character mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And that the villain, when he discovers, you know, that the heart lives on, right? Not the human, but the heart lives on, the spirit lives on, right? What a powerful allegory, right?
Yeah.
And in a world that says heart doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right? Character doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
when I don't know what else does matter,
yeah.
you know, especially when it comes to leadership.
Yeah. So each of the heroes that the kid meets explains a different facet of his new heart.
Of his new heart, because they knew the hero.
They knew the hero.
They knew the hero. So is there any parody here at all of the gospel? Is there?
No. I would say that there are references to the iceberg
mm-hmm,
in here. And mm-hmm. we think, let me tell you a quick story. One of the very first times I ever shared the iceberg.
Okay.
Now, I love group participation
right.
as a communicator. In a large room, it can be a little more disconcerting. But I was talking about the iceberg, and somebody shouted out, that's biblical. Well, I turned to acknowledge that side of the room, and I said, thank you for that. I believe all truth is God's truth, and I kind of turned away.
Right.
And the guy said, you're not listening. And I thought, oh, no, I've got a heckler. What do you do with a heckler? I said, well, you don't give them the microphone. And I said, but I've got to address this. And so I said, well, I'm trying to listen.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's in the Bible. And I'm a Bible reader. And right. so I'm sitting there thinking, iceberg, iceberg, iceberg. I'm wondering what translation this man's reading. So I don't know what else to do. I mean,
right.
he's kind of got the floor now.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, sir, is there a particular verse that comes to mind? I didn't know where else to go.
Yeah,
I had
right.
no idea what he was
right,
going
right.
to say.
Chapter, verse, could you read that to us, please?
And he said, Psalm 78:72.
Okay.
And he stopped, and I thought, oh, no, he thinks I know what that says. And I said, sir, I need to apologize to you and to this entire crowd. I don't have all the Psalms committed to memory, and I bet there's somebody else in the room that does not know what Psalm 78:72 says. I said, would you tell us?
Mm. That's great.
Having no idea where he's going to go, because I don't know what it says. And he says, it's about King David. And I'm sitting there with my inside voice thinking, I don't care who it's about right now, but thank you for that context. I said, what does it say? And it said, David shepherded his people with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands, he led them.
Mm.
integrity of heart and skillful hands. Imagine what you could do if you could raise up a generation of leaders with integrity of heart and skillful hands.
Yeah, you'd change the world.
So now I tell people this is biblical, the iceberg. Uh-huh. It's integrity of heart and skillful hands. And so this is the integrity of heart part of that equation. And I hope and pray and trust that there'll be a book two. We've set this up for book two.
Yep.
Because the last frame here is the villain says he can't let the kid learn the skills. He now understands the heart. If he gets the skills, he'll change the world. Mm. And so book two is designed conceptually for the kid to begin learning those skills. It's to complete the picture.
That's awesome. It's not just about the heart, but it's about the skill. You know, we deal with a lot of pastors in our journey, and one of the things that you know, pastors, they're not taught in seminary how to lead, right? They have the heart, right? But they don't have the skill.
Right.
But yet the first thing they do when they walk into church is they have to put that leadership hat on, right, there to lead others.
And, you know, I've talked about this for a long, long time. Peter Drucker, the late management and leadership thinker, he said, the quality of character does not make the leader, but the absence flaws the entire process.
That's beautiful.
It's not character alone.
No.
And I tell people, I think I can prove this to you. I said, think of men and women you know with impeccable character that couldn't lead themselves out of this room.
Mm-mm.
And it's not about their heart.
Right.
They don't actually have the skills.
That's right.
And I said, you really want both. Think about your lawyer. Think about your attorney. Think about your accountant. Do you want them to have just integrity of heart? Oh, no. You want them to have skills as well.
Too.
Oh, but you don't want just skills.
Right.
I mean, you probably know people with skills that you wouldn't follow.
Right.
If a person has skills and you wouldn't follow them,
right,
my guess is you've got questions about their heart.
Absolutely.
So it's the genius of the and when you can put the skills and the heart together. And so this is half that story.
And I know at Chick-fil-A it's really important to you guys. You have a three-legged stool in your ethos, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's acquire talent, right? We want to look for the most talented people. Then we want to give them skill. We want to transfer the skills that they need. And then we want to build community.
Mm-hmm.
We want to build strong, healthy community.
That's how you build a great team.
Yep.
That's how you build a great team.
So roll that back to the leader and the heart of the leader, right? So, okay, we have the heart, but we don't have the skill. So if we don't have the heart, can the leader get the heart?
Sure.
Can the leader?
Sure.
Tell us about that.
Well, the heart habits that we're describing are best formed in a process called parenting.
Okay.
Unfortunately, some folks aren't learning these things.
Right.
I think adults can learn these heart habits if they want to.
And they have a great mentor.
If they want to.
Yeah.
That's step one.
Yeah.
And then somebody
right.
to teach them, to
yeah.
coach them, to
mm-hmm.
take them on that journey.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think you can develop mm-hmm. these things.
And skills much easier to acquire, obviously, right, than the change of a heart, right, and an individual moving from one belief set to another belief set, because that's really what a heart change is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe these things to be true, and what I do is discover that they're not true and they're empty. And because they're empty and I want to know the truth and I want to live the truth in my life because I want to live life to the full, right? So that would persuade me, right, to change my heart and to move in a new direction. But skill set. So talk a little bit about skills. How to lead? Where would you send leaders to obtain the skills that you think are most important in leadership?
Well, you've got to figure out what you believe that answer is. Mm-hmm. We call them the fundamentals.
Right.
And the first is the ability to see the future,
mm-hmm.
which is really about vision.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership always begins with a picture of the future,
mm-hmm.
and you need to turn wherever you need to turn to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've got a point of view, we've got resources on that, but so do others.
Mm-hmm.
Second is the best leaders engage and develop others.
Right.
Well, there's a lot out there on that, but
mm-hmm.
you got to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't engage and develop others, the vision is irrelevant at that point.
And that would indicate that you're probably more self-centered than other-centered, right? And that would probably not be real heart-driven, I would think.
There are problems there, right?
Yeah.
If you're a self-serving leader versus a serving leader.
Absolutely.
The third is to reinvent continuously, which is about creating and sustaining positive change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are still leaders, you may know a few of these, and they think change is a burden. and change is a barrier. It's mm-hmm. like, no, change is your job
right.
as a leader.
It's inevitable.
It's not even inevitable. It is the essence of the job is right. to move people and organizations from here to a preferred future, to move them from here to there. It is your core responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Reinvent Continuously is at the heart of our model. Mm-hmm. Now, we tell folks three different domains. If it helps you think about it, you need to be reinventing yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to be reinventing systems and work processes, you know, how work
Create
is done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and because your current outcomes are perfectly aligned with your current behaviors and systems and beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's like that's how that works. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to be willing and able to reinvent structure, because structure should enable, not inhibit, the work. Mm-hmm. So we think that's one of those fundamentals. Mm-hmm. The fourth of five, so you mm-hmm. wonder how long this list is, is to value results and relationships. Mm-hmm. And we think there's huge tension there. Mm-hmm. Jim Collins would call this an example of the genius of the and.
Okay.
It's when you take two things that at times can actually be in opposition mm-hmm. and you embrace them both.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That creates tension. That creates friction. Mm-hmm. And there's energy there.
Right.
The classic example that most folks would immediately relate to is what Toyota said 40 years ago. We're going to be high quality and low cost. It's mm-hmm. like, well, how do you do both?
Right.
Well, they've pretty much done both. They're high quality and low cost. Mm-hmm. So we think this is an example of that principle mm-hmm. that the best leaders value results and relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for a lot of leaders because you've got a natural right. bias, but right. you have to compensate. You've got to value both. Mm-hmm. And we teach leaders how to compensate and put systems and mechanisms in place mm-hmm. so that you can value that, what you might not normally value mm-hmm. naturally.
Right. I want to camp on that a second. You know, over my life, leading others and being led myself, there's probably no greater sense of betrayal than I've felt when somebody's leading me and they don't love me enough to actually tell me hmm. where I need to course correct and keep mm-hmm. me accountable, right? Or help me understand mm-hmm. what I need to stop doing in order to start doing the things in which help me live life more to the full, right? Or be more productive mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, leaders understanding how to actually, lead with that tension. I expect results. We agreed on results, right? We're not getting those results, right? And how do we actually get the
also
results?
Also value in the relationship.
That's right.
Because interesting enough, the way you maximize performance, the mm-hmm. way you maximize results is to focus on both.
Mm-hmm,
to
right.
focus on either exclusively actually sub-optimizes results over the long term.
That's right. And actually would probably become very manipulative, right? Much more manipulative than being built out of a true love for you. I care about you. I care mm-hmm. about how successful you are, how fruitful you are, and mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about that than my fruitfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm concerned about you.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
And fifth thing.
The fifth is they embody a leader's heart.
Mm-hmm.
They embody a leader's heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, that spells S-E-R-V-E.
Okay.
Serve.
Mm-hmm.
Great leaders serve.
It's the greatest,
and
right?
those are the fundamentals.
Yeah, the greatest
that we teach when we talk about skills.
Mm-hmm. She'll be called servant, right? It's
there
awesome.
You go.
Well, Mark, it's always good to talk to you. I know our listeners will be incredibly blessed. I hope. Tell me before we leave, though, is this targeted to young adults, to kids,
well,
to
it's,
young leaders,
it's
old leaders,
it's
all
interesting.
The above?
I have learned that there is a huge market. For adults. Mm-hmm. Again, shame on me. I went into this thinking, ooh, the teenagers will love this.
Right.
And by the way, many of them do.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of millions of copies of graphic novels are sold in America to adults.
Right.
And so what I'm finding is I don't want to put any boundaries here.
That's good.
It's men and women who enjoy this learning style.
Right.
And I've gotten more feedback from adults than I have from kids on this. So it's for anybody that loves a graphic novel. But this is a little throwback. I'll say this in closing. One reason my team got so excited about this is they said it's a throwback. And I said, I don't even know what that means because I'm kind of new to this medium.
Right.
And they said, when graphic novels became a thing, however many years ago that mm-hmm. happened, I should probably know that. I'm guessing it's 75, 80 years ago mm-hmm. is when they became a thing.
Yeah.
They were created to inculcate truth and values,
mm-hmm, right,
and to make people better.
Mm-hmm.
And they, these people telling me this, and I've heard it from multiple sources, they said, that's not really what graphic novels are about anymore, but this one is.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a throwback in that you're actually trying to make somebody's life better with
amen.
This content. And I said, well, okay, then it's a throwback.
Yeah.
And so I would say anybody who likes this form of content, this form of learning, then that's who it's for.
That's great. So Heart of the Hero, tell us where we can get copies of this.
Well, currently...
Because I know it was just pre-released
when
you sent it to
us. Yes. Go. It's not even in mass distribution yet, but we do have copies at leadeveryday.com.
Okay, leadeveryday.com.
Yes.
We'll put a link to
And
that
I will say this about that site. Soon, maybe about the time this goes live, that's going to be a fully orbed site with discrete user pathways. If you want to work on yourself or your team or your organization, there'll be a full store, and that's where the book is currently available.
Cool.
Right now, it's a splash page for my last book.
Right.
But it's about to be a fully fledged, fleshed out site.
That's awesome. Well, Mark, thanks once again. I know you're a busy man. We're grateful to be sitting across the table from you. I know our listeners will be blessed in our time together today. I suggest anybody that has not picked it up, Heart of the Hero, I would hope that you'd go pick up a copy. And, Mark, it's been a blessing
being
with you.
Likewise. Good to see you again.
Mm-hmm.